The Word of God says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you know the Bible speaks indelibly of the second coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? I wish I could drive that truth like a burning fire into your soul today. The Lord shall soon be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God. Someone some time ago challenged me to preach more about the promises of God. And I said, I'll give you one of God's immortal promises. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know what another promise of God is? The wages of sin is death. That's a promise, ladies and gentlemen. Another promise written in God's holy word is the wicked shall be turned into hell. That's a promise, my friend. Yes, the Bible says if a man lives after the flesh, he shall die. Well, we're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. One out of every 25 verses in the Bible has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was a great second coming preacher. He spoke many times of the soon return of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, in parable after parable, incident after incident, constantly spoke about His imminent return, coming back to establish the kingdom. In fact, it was His speaking of the kingdom of God that finally invoked that divine question that came from the mouth of the apostles in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and in Mark 13 and other places. And of course, the question paraphrased many times is, when, Lord, what shall be the sign of Thy coming? What will be the end of the age? Will you restore the kingdom to Israel? In the book of Revelation, we find the saints, the martyred saints, lying there under the altar of God, crying, how long, O Lord, how long? Daniel asked the question, how long shall it be till these things come to pass? So the question has been upon the hearts and lives of minds of people down through the preceding generations. When is God going to bring this thing to an end? Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness unto all men. In one place, He says, as a witness against all men, and then shall the end come. The Apostle Paul said, the end of all flesh is at hand. Be ye sober, be vigilant, be diligent, for your adversary the devil goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The scriptures speak about the end of all flesh. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, except those days be shortened, days of tribulation, days of deep trials and testings upon the face of the earth, He said, except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, you are living in the time of nuclear fusion and nuclear war. Yes, my friend, this is the first and the only generation in the history of mankind that has faced the inevitability of a nuclear confrontation with the possibility of eliminating, destroying, and removing every living creature of flesh and blood off the face of the earth. You are living in the end of an age. My brother, my sister, ladies and gentlemen, may I inform you that this generation shall not pass away. Someone sort of took issue with me on that and said, how can you prove that this is the generation? And then there are others who believe that that scripture has already been fulfilled, and a portion of the generation that did see the fall of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Israelite tribes did not pass away until they did witness all of that. But then Jesus went on and said this, likewise, just like it was in that generation that witnessed those minute fulfillment of biblical prophecy, He says, likewise, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, when people will be buying, selling, marrying, and giving in marriage, and so forth and so on, going right along, building and planning and hoping and dreaming for a world that is not going to be because of the wickedness and the sin and the corruption that is inbred in the heart of man. May I say to you with all sincerity that the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and it is desperately wicked. You understand that? God said the heart of man is desperately wicked. And it has no intentions of bringing about good things upon the face of the earth. There's a diabolical Satan-inspired scheme today to overrule the throne of heaven and to challenge the sovereignty of Almighty God. Well, it's going to all come to an end one of these days with the blast of a trumpet, with the shout of an archangel, and with the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! May I have you turn with me today to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be talking about the trumpet. The title of our message is the sixth trumpet. Let's look first of all here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The apostle Paul says here, now this I say in the 50th verse, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here we find that the great scripture that is referred to by so many of our theologians and biblical preachers and denominational teachers today as the rapture. You know, it amazes me because I've heard this preached for 30-some years now across America, and even some of the songs have been changed. Our dear Baptist brothers who do not believe that the church will go through the tribulation, and many of our Pentecostal brothers who do not believe that the church will be here on earth have changed this to from the last trump to the first trump. In fact, I was listening to a gospel quartet sing the other day, and they were singing that old song, where will I be when the first trumpet sounds? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not imply here that we are going to be caught away or changed or transformed or raptured out at the first trump. If you will look very carefully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verse 52, he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, hallelujah. You got that now? It says L-A-S-T. L-A-S-T. Last trump. He said, the scripture says here that we're going to be changed, called up to meet the Lord, raptured out at the last trump. Now, let me just go on a little bit further here, if I may, for just a second, and let's find out what Paul's talking about. Over here in the book of Thessalonians, he goes a little bit further, and he writes here, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, I know somebody's going to say, but there are two phases to his coming. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus didn't say that. Paul didn't reveal that. The Bible, my friend, talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. It talks about his second coming. He didn't come in two phases the first time, and he's not coming in two phases the second time. He came upon a world that was not expecting him the first time. He's coming upon a generation of people that's not looking, nor expecting, or waiting, or preparing for him the second time. Only the blood-washed, spirit-filled who have their hearts tuned in are going to feel the urgency of the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on now. 1 Thessalonians, he said, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, we which are alive remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. And over here in Corinthians, he goes on and said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Everyone will not be asleep, but we shall all be changed. The dead in Christ shall be changed, and we which are alive shall be changed. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. Well, let's go on now. He said, he says over here, we shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and here it is now, with the trump of God. Now, which trumpet is that? The apostle told us in the book of Corinthians, it would be the last trump. I have to get that point across, the last trump. We're going to go and find out where the trumpets are being blown, and we're going to try to find out how many trumpets there are in just a little while. But the apostle does say that there will be trumpets. There are more than one trumpet because he's talking about the last trump. There may be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 100. I don't particularly want to talk about that right now. I'll get back to a little while and we'll show you how many trumpets there are going to sound. But the Bible does say that the Lord is going to come at the last one. At the last one. And he gives us a specific number. And the Bible will tell us in a little while which one, as we get into it, which one is the last trump. May I pause just a moment. And may I reiterate that the apostle says in the book of Corinthians that we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, at the trump of God, at the last trump. Paul said it will be the last trump. Now, here referring to the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says over here, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, which trump? Now, we know the Bible said it will be the last trump. Now, somebody's going to say to me, well, Brother Stair, that's not the rapture. But this is the rapture. This is what most people call the rapture. This is what most people use to identify the rapture, this particular verse of Scripture right here. And notice what it says. It says that the Lord shall descend. Nowhere in that Scripture does it even tell you that we shall go back to heaven with him, or that Jesus himself is going to go back to heaven. It just simply says the Lord himself shall descend, come back from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and we which do remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, on his way, descending, coming down from heaven. We're going to meet him on his way, coming back to earth. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. One of the things that amazes me so much today is when I listen to the preachers as they go and they begin to establish a doctrine. Now, I'm not against doctrine. I believe in doctrine, and I believe that doctrine is important and is essential to the Christian faith, or to the understanding of the Holy Bible, and to the thinking of God. But many times when men want to establish a doctrine, they sort of formulate it in their mind, and then they go back to the Bible and try to find Scripture to substantiate it. And that's where this doctrine of the rapture came, you know, my friend. I believe in the coming of Jesus Christ and being called up to meet the Lord in the air, and I believe that that can be called the rapture. I have nothing, no compunction with that particular word being used, but it does not talk about a secret rapture. The Bible does not talk about the Lord secretly coming in. You know, some years ago, a man wrote me, heard me preaching on the radio, and he said, Brother Stair, don't you know the Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be like a thief in the night? And of course, he took me over there to the book of Thessalonians, and you all know where it's at. If you have your Bible, it's there in the book of Thessalonians, and we'll turn to it real quickly. And he said, you know as well as I do, Brother Stair, the coming of Jesus Christ is going to be as a thief in the night. And here's the scripture he quoted. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I said, don't you see that, Brother Stair? He said, that makes it very clear that a thief comes when you don't expect him, when you're not looking, when you're not preparing for him. And that's the way the Lord's going to come. He says he's going to come as a thief in the night, and we won't know it. We won't have any idea. We don't have any awareness of when he's coming. And I just sat there and read that letter and said to myself, my God, help us today. When we want to prove something, when we want to believe something, we will just do as Jesus said. We will strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Because if you'd have just read just a few more verses, just a few more verses in the very same chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 does say, for yourselves know, you Christian brothers and sisters know perfectly. We know. He's not telling us something that we don't know. He's telling us something that we do know. He said, you know that the day of the Lord is going to come upon the face of the whole earth, the unsuspecting mankind, as a thief in the night. He says, for when they, when the world, when the politician, when the governors, when the leaders, when the presidents, when the kings, when they cry peace and safety, when they promote their own means of world domination, he said, for when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. As I said some time ago on one of our broadcasts, there is an us and there is a them. And we know that the day of the Lord's coming. And when they, the world, the unbeliever, cry peace, safety, we're going to establish an utopia upon the face of the earth. He said, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Them. Yes, you Democrats, Republicans, atheists, agnostic, modernists, liberals, conservatives, or whatever title you want to call yourself, Catholics, Protestantism, I don't care what human title you got, there's destruction coming upon all mankind who know not Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God is going to consume the spirit of the Antichrist and all of those who follow him with the spirit of his coming, with the flaming fire. Hallelujah. And destruction is coming, and they shall not escape. Do you hear that? Now, if you go on now and read just the next verse, would you please, would you kindly, brother, sister, ladies, gentlemen, saint of God, preacher, pastor, evangelist, would you read now, fourth verse, but you, ye, ye, brethren, are not in darkness. See, that day of destruction of the Lord's coming should overtake you as a thief. See, it's coming as a thief in the night, but it's not going to be that kind of an appearing to us. We know it's coming like that upon the whole world, and you can look around and see that the world and most church people are not looking for it. Most preachers are not expecting it. Most evangelists, most churches, most denominations have no idea that this is the last generation. They are so busy building those big hospitals, those fine schools, and we're building a world government, a one world system, a one world society, and we just don't know and believe that Jesus is coming. But my friend, he is. Hallelujah. The Son of God is going to come. Glory be to God, and set up the kingdom of God upon the face of this earth, and it will take place in your lifetime, in this generation. And I say to you one more time, prepare to meet your God. Well, look what it says now. It says here, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Are you in darkness today, church? Are you in darkness, saint? Have you stuck your hand in the sand, your head in the sand? Have you been blinded by the materialistic preaching of this American society and these false prophets who prophesy to you that the sword and famine shall not come to this land? Have you been deluded, my friend, by the deceitfulness of riches and by the cares of this life? Have you been misinformed that only one life and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last, and only men who are pure and holy and righteous will stand in the presence of God when the kingdom of God is ushered in? The Bible said there will be no unclean thing therein. Oh, hallelujah. He said there will be a highway and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, and no unclean thing shall walk therein. And many of you think today that you're going to be excused for your sin. No, brother and sister, there is no excuse for sin in the hearts of believers today. Oh, Jesus hung on the cross, shed His blood and died to wash you clean, that you might walk holy and righteous and godly, and present yourself unto Him a living sacrifice, without sin, without a filth, without pollution. You don't have to live a life of sin and ungodliness. No matter what men and women try to say to you today, you can live by the grace of God holy and walk circumspectly before your God all the days of your life. Well, He said, you brethren are not in darkness. Are you in darkness? I'm not. Thank God I'm not. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for God today who kept me from this religious tradition and forms of men that have blinded the eyes. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible in most instances calls just about every religious system, Protestant, charismatic, Catholic, Jewish, as blind leaders. Blind. They're walking in darkness. The blind are leading the blind, and they are both going to fall in the ditch, both the leader and the follower. Oh, my son, yea, the Lord thy God would speak unto His people in that still small voice, as I spoke to my servant Elijah when I asked him, what thou doest here? Oh, I say unto you, my children, what are you doing now, involving yourselves in the affairs of this life? Oh, have I not called? Have I not spoken? Have I not moved by my spirit? Have I not caused an urging in your bosom, yea, to seek my face in fasting and prayer and dedication and consecration? Oh, my little ones, my children, I urge you, the hour is late. Time is now running out. Yea, the trumpets are sounding. You are already in the midst of the sounding of the trumpets. Yea. Over half of the trumpets have already been sounded, and the fulfillment has already come to pass, and yet there is still a little time for the rest to be fulfilled, and then time will be no more. Oh, my children, lay aside every weight. Oh, my kapatidolabahaya, put down everything within thy life. Purge thyself, make thyself clean. Yea, walk in my word, keep my commandments, do that which is pleasing in my sight, for I shall come. Yea, I shall come, and I shall catch you awaiting for me, if thou hast prepared. But if thou hast been caught up in the things of this life, and have walked in your own lust, and pursued your own desires, and done your own thing, thou shalt be caught unaware. You shall be caught, my friend, my little one, without the wedding garment on. Oh, my children, destruction is in the land. It is inevitable. My wrath shall soon be poured out without measure, and only those who have run to me and have been washed in my blood and walking in the Spirit and fulfilling my word shall walk under my protection in these days of judgment and tribulation, saith the Lord your God. Oh, Jesus, my God, have mercy. My God, have mercy. My God, awaken us today. Oh, Father, have mercy upon those listening to this broadcast. My Father, have mercy upon that backslider, that lukewarm Christian That cold and indifferent saint. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, speak to the people of God today. Rally them, Lord, to the cross and back to repentance, I pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, you are not children of the light, the Bible says here, but you are all the children of the light. You see, that day shall not overtake us as a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Oh, God, help you today. My friend, you've got to have the whole armor of God on. Well, let me get back here to the book of Acts. The Lord Himself should descend from heaven with a shout. He's not coming back in two phases. May I emphatically, clearly, purposely, definitely say to you that Jesus is not going to come sneaking in the middle of any night, morning or noon, and snatch a few people away and then let the rest of them hear. No, my friend, when Jesus stood on the Mount of Ascension, turn with me, if you will, to Acts the first chapter, when Jesus stood on the Mount of Ascension, and there He was in that resurrected body, and He was telling His apostles, now, let me tell you something, there's a job for you to do. You go and you tarry in the city of Jerusalem, He says, and you wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you have heard of Me. He says, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you are going to be witnesses. You see, he wasn't telling them right then that they're going to be snatched out and be caught out, but that there was a job for them to do, and so they should go and wait for the promise of the Father, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they would be witnesses unto Him. Listen to what He says here. In Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and on to the uttermost part of the earth. And then He said, now look, I'm going away here. And here's what happened now. Turn with me, 9th verse, 1st chapter. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up. You see here? He's taken up. Paul said He will descend. Why? Because He's up. He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now look at this. And while they looked steadfastly, I can imagine standing there looking at this great manifestation of the power of God. While they stood there looking as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, isn't that what Paul said? The Lord Himself, this same Jesus, the Lord Himself, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Now let me ask you a question. My friend, He was going up. He went up into the clouds. Angels were around Him, and now they tell us He's coming back in the same prescribed manner. As He went up, He is going to descend. He will be in the clouds. Angels will be heralding His coming, and it will take place at the last trump. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? It says nothing about us going back to heaven with Him. The Bible said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, to meet Him on His way, coming back. Where's He coming? Right back to this place here that we read about in Acts the first chapter. He was on the Mount of Olives. That's where He was, standing on the Mount of Olives. And they says He is going to come back. Look, then returned they all to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. So you see, He's coming right back to the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Going to gather His people. Going to set up His kingdom. Going to establish His eternal kingdom. Of His kingdom there shall be no end. Well, when's it going to take place? right back to the age-old question that's being answered by hundreds and thousands, coming back in the same prescribed manner. As he went up, he is going to descend. He will be in the clouds. Angels will be heralding his coming, and it will take place at the last trump. Isn't that clear? Isn't that clear? It says nothing about us going back to heaven with him. The Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, to meet Him on His way, coming back. Where's He coming? Right back to this place here that we read about in Acts, the first chapter. He was on the Mount of Olives. That's where he was, standing on the Mount of Olives. And they says he is going to come back. Look, then returned they all to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. So you see, he's coming right back to the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Going to gather his people. Going to set up his kingdom. Going to establish his eternal kingdom. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, when's it going to take place? Right back to the age-old question that's being answered by hundreds and thousands. How long, O Lord? How long? Well, the Apostle Paul said it was going to take place at the last trump. That's right, at the last trump. I read it for you. I'll read it for you again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Why not get your marker pen and mark that in your Bible? Mark under that little line, at the last trump. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Well, when? At the last trump. Does Jesus ever talk about that? Did Jesus ever talk about a trumpet sounding and this great revelation taking place? Why, sure it did. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. Get your Bible and let's read in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And look what it says here in the 31st verse. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Now when? Which trumpet is that? Number one? Number two? First? Last? Third? Which one is it? The apostle told you it was the last one. L-A-S-T. Now we find here Jesus saying he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And what shall they do? They shall gather or rapture together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. As you know, we've been talking about the trumpets, and we have found here in Matthew 24 now that he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. And of course, your traditionalists, your pre-tribulation secret rapture doctrinal teachers are going to say, well, no, that's not the rapture, but it's a perfect description of it. He shall send his angels, sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It's a perfect description of the rapture described here in the book of Corinthians or in the book of Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. You see, the angels are there, the trumpet's there, and the Lord is there. Hallelujah. The only reason why most of the secret rapture teachers don't want to accept this particular rendition in Matthew 24 is because it comes at a specific time. You know, many people are always asking the question, well, when will Jesus come? Before the tribulation, after the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation? And we've had that discussion going on in America for years. years and years and years. Of course, you know that the rapture theory being taught that the church would be called out before the tribulation was not taught by Paul. It was not taught by Jesus. It was not taught by Peter. It wasn't even in church history up until about 1827 or 37, somewhere along there, before somebody ever input that thing into church doctrine. But the reason why they stumble over Matthew 24 is because in the 31st verse, when it talks about he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, it comes after this startling statement directly from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 24 verse 29. Look at it. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now you see, ladies and gentlemen, the scriptures tell us that in the book of Joel that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven just before that great and notable day of the Lord comes, or before the Lord cometh. You'll find that in the book of Joel. If you have your Bibles, you turn back to the book of Joel, and you'll find it there very quickly, where the Bible says the sun will be darkened. Who shall abide the day of his coming? Who's going to be able to stand in that terrible day when the Lord comes? And Joel goes on and tells you that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, just before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. Turn with me to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and look what he says. He said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be darkened, turned into darkness. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord shall come. So we find here in Matthew 24, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, shall be turned into blood, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then the coming of the Lord, and then shall appear, and then shall appear, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And at that time he's going to send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Hallelujah. And they shall gather or rapture or receive or meet the Lord in the air, and so shall the end come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you want to argue sometimes over these things, but the Bible is very clear. No doubt about it. No question about it. The Lord's coming at the last trump. And the last trump is going to take place after the tribulation. There's going to be a time of tribulation, a time of trouble, a time of great difficulty, a time of great suffering. And then the Bible makes it very clear there should be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And the hope of the Christian church is when you see these things, we're going to be here to see it. When you see them begin to come to pass, hallelujah. When you see these end time signs beginning to be fulfilled in your very sight, he said, look up, rejoice, get excited, hallelujah. For the Lord is coming, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, praise the Lord. One place in the book of Luke, he says in the 34th chapter of Luke 21, and take heed to yourselves. Get yourself under control. Awake up your soul. Awake up your spirit. Take heed. Listen, my God, ladies and gentlemen. Church members, don't you hear me? You're in the very essence of the end of time. My God, may the Lord God of heaven help you to understand. And some of the things that's going to sidetrack many of the Christians is found right here in the 34th verse of Luke 21. He said, take heed to yourselves, because at any time your hearts can be overcharged, be made to neglect, overcharged with surfeiting, easy living. Can't you see that that's what the devil's doing to the Christian church today? He's putting you at ease in Zion. He's blessed you. He's allowed those material things that you seek after, those earthly things. You have given up the heavenly for the earthly. You have made the choice, many of you, of the rich young ruler. You walked away from God sorrowfully because you have possessions and you have given up treasures in heaven for earthly possessions. Oh, ma kosa talabahaya. Mondorabokoshia. Oh, ma kotataya. Oh, my little ones. My children. Can you not see that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of the eternal things that God has for you? The things that are seen, the cars, your homes, your money, your clothes, your land, they are temporal. They are temporary. The things that are not seen, the things that can only be felt and witnessed by the avenue of faith, like Abraham, who was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. The things which are seen are earthly, temporal. They will vanish. The earth and all that is therein. Did you hear that? The Heritage Village, the City of Hope, the great Bible school in Baton Rouge, the mammoth cathedrals, the temples that have been built and established by men will be burnt up. Hallelujah. Thank God forever. Those things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May God help you. Is it no wonder that the Apostle Paul vowed to reject earthly things when he said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Isn't it no wonder the Apostle Paul wrote, if we in this life have hope only in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. Now you know why so many Christians are miserable. So many Bible believers are miserable because their only hope is in their material things that just can't satisfy. They're in their earthly things that will not satisfy. And they have lost sight of the prize. Abraham left his father, his home, his kinfolk, chose the mountains and the rough places of the hillsides over the smooth, fertile plains of Lot, of Sodom and Gomorrah, because he was not going to be satisfied with anything that was going to sidetrack him from the promised land, the city that God was building. Hallelujah. Oh, are you being overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness? Oh, that's not talking about alcohol. That's not talking about drugs. That's talking about the minds of men being so filled with trash that they have lost the ability to think. They're drunken. They're staggering around. Don't know which direction to go. Don't know where they came from and don't know where they're going to lie down tonight. Don't have no security or peace in Christ Jesus because they're seeking after the things of this world. And look at this. Overcharged with drunkenness, surfeiting, and the cares of this life. Hasn't the devil done a good job? I mean, he's got you so wrapped up in nice cars, nice homes, electric lights, water in the house, plumbing, and all the comforts of life that you are so busy just providing those things you have no time to pray, no time to turn on the light of God. The cares of this life. Oh, yes. And that day is coming upon you unaware. Do you know that every day that you put aside seeking God, every day that you seem to think that paying your mortgage and your car and getting your kid through college, every day that you get entangled with that, my friend, puts you deeper and deeper and deeper into the trap where you will never get out when Satan finally springs it. For as a snare, as a trap shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's coming. Nuclear war is going to shake up the world overnight. in a 24-hour period, in one day, the entire structure of the military economic might of the entire world is going to be dramatically transformed. In one day, you know, nuclear war will perhaps send a cloud up that will blind and blot out the sun and cause the moon not to shine. It may shatter the heavens so greatly that those stars will fall. And it's going to be just before the day of the Lord cometh, before Jesus comes. Ladies and gentlemen, how near are we to the coming of Jesus? Well, the question will be answered as we answer, how near are we to the fulfillment of those biblical prophecies that lead us up to and at the very coming? We have seen many of them. He said, when you see Jerusalem or the nation of Israel budding and all the other nations coming into power, he said, know that his coming is nigh, even at the door. He said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that his coming is near. Is Jerusalem compassed? Yes, it is. And do you see it? Sure you do. Right there on your television, you literally have seen the armies encamped around Israel. You have watched the nation bud and bloom. You have heard about the United Nations as the nations all spring forth. Ladies and gentlemen, the coming of Jesus Christ is near, even at the door. There are just a few more things that take place before the actual event will take place. And it will take place in your lifetime. It will happen in this generation. I firmly do not believe we shall ever witness the year 2000. I believe the coming of the Lord is very near. I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. The Bible talks about seven trumpets. You remember me talking about the trumpets? Huh? You remember me talking about it? And he opened the seventh seal and there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven. And the sixth verse of the eighth chapter of the Revelations, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. I have no doubt in my mind that these trumpets are already being polished. And the first one has it to the lips. And it will blow at the beginning of nuclear war, which could begin in the next year, maybe even tonight. But I do have a firm conviction in my spirit and my soul that before 1990 rolls around, America will be no more a military, economic strength or nation revered or feared by the rest of the world. I believe nuclear holocaust is that close. The first angel sounded. There followed hail, fire, mingled with blood. They were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up. And all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire. It was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. If you haven't taken time to write for the little cassette that I have on the Russian war plans, you need to get it. The nuclear war is being planned. And by the time this nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia is over, you will see the fulfillment of Revelation 8, 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11, and so forth. As these trumpets sound, There's going to be a great fallout. Look what it says here. And the third angel sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the mountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. There's your nuclear fallout. What will it do? Third part of the waters will become wormwood or bitter or poisonous. Many men will die because they drink the water, because they were made bitter. Thank God for the promise. Every time I read that, I think of the promise He gave in Mark 16. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh, hallelujah. The hope of the church. Oh, through the fire, and it won't consume us. Through the water, and it won't overpower us. The gates of hell will not prevail. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? The Democrats won't survive. The Republicans won't survive. The Catholic Church won't survive. No, they shall not escape. When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction, and they shall not escape. Only those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and only those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You say, well, Brother Stair, many Christians are going to be killed. That's right. But don't you understand that they that believe in Christ, though they were dead, yet shall they live, and they that live shall never die. Oh, hallelujah. You don't understand that Christ did save you to live in this earthly temporal life. He saved you to become a part of His eternal kingdom that shall endure forever and forever. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. By the way, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? We find here seven trumpets. Seven. You notice that? One, two, three, four, five. Is that the last one? Is the fifth one the last trump if there's seven? How about the sixth one? Is the sixth one the last trump if there's seven? No, my friend. How about the seventh one? Now, if we get to the seventh one, and there is no eighth one, do you suppose that number seven is the last one? Why, sure. No question about it. We'll go on down and read here. He said in the fourth angel. See that? Fourth one. Is the fourth one the last one? If there's seven, is number four the last one? No. No, it's not the last one yet. So we're still here. And a third part of the sun was smitten. Isn't that amazing? And a third part of the moon and a third part of the stars, so that a third part of them was darkened, and the sun shall be darkened. Matthew 21, Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Joel chapter 2. And the sun shall be darkened, and the day shall not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, the moon will not give its light. And I beheld, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Three more trumpets now. And all of you that are wrapped up in becoming possessors of this earth, inhabitants of the earth. Somebody said, well, doesn't that include you? No, sir, my friend. No, sir, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my habitation is in God. If you turn back to the book of Psalms, listen to it. Oh, my Lord. I'm standing here preaching, getting all excited, reading in this Holy Bible. Psalms 91. Look what it says here. Look what it says in Psalms 91 about where those... Lord God, turn with me. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Look at this. Over here in the ninth verse, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You see that? You see that? Do you see that? Woe be to those who are dwelling, inhabiting, possessing, inheriting the earth. Woe. But I'm not seeking this earth. My habitation is in God. Hallelujah. And I am in the secret place seeking to get closer to Him, more like Him. And He says in Psalms 91 that when this terrible thing happens, He says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And surely He shall deliver thee from that snare that shall come upon the whole earth and from the noisome pestilence. He says He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. And you know what? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, hallelujah. And thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night when the night it becomes darkness, or nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Oh, when this nuclear confrontation comes, you're going to see them fall and die and cry and scream. But He says, it will not come nigh you. And here's a promise that God gives every one of us who have chosen to keep ourselves free from this old world and to walk in righteousness and true holiness all the days of our life. Here is a promise. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any of those plagues come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. We're going to get the old devil and the adder, the young lion, the dragon. That old dragon is coming up out of the pit. Shalt thou trample, hallelujah, underfoot. Why? Because you have set your love upon me. Because you love me more than life itself. Because you love me, saith God. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set you on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And I will give him long life, eternal life, everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Well, and the fourth angel sounded. Woe be unto them. Woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth. The fifth angel sounded. I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. After the nuclear war, we're going to see the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of the first church system, the rise of the one world government, the one world system. And oh, brother and sister, they're going to begin to hurt people, to torment people. They're going to begin to put men through great physical trials and circumstances. Famine will be rampant, food shortage, water pollution, air pollution. The comforts of life will be gone. World rationing will take place. The mark of the beast will be implicated and will be put into position. The Bible says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. You notice they're trying to find ways to cause people to be able to die gracefully or to commit suicide. Well, even in those hours when men have chosen to die and commit suicide, they will try to take their own life, and even that will not be provided because every single one of us are going to face God. Let me just go over here to the sixth angel. And 14th verse, Revelation 9. Let me go to the 13th verse. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and for a year. And their job was to slay the third part of men. Look at that. A third part of men. A third part of men. May God help us. Look what here it says now. And I saw the horses in the vision, And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire.